everyone. Welcome to another edition of Mystery School. I'm your host, Jacob Cox, and I'm super glad to be here tonight, back from a few months of vacation, and super excited to be here. Like I said, thanks everyone for joining us. Our topic tonight is conspiracy. Really is one of my favorite topics probably of all time. Obviously, most of my shows, episodes are about conspiracies in general. Tonight, we're going to touch on a few of those. Probably not go into detail about a lot of them, just for time's sake for tonight. And we will definitely go into a much more in-depth shows later on about some of these, some of them we've done before. But just want to touch a few tonight, talk about why it is it's so important for us to talk about conspiracy, because it's such a taboo word, right? That we're not allowed to talk about these things, that they can't be true, obviously. And I just find that to be really honestly so crazy, because why is it that we don't think people conspire to do things? I mean, someone conspired to build my house. Someone conspired to build the roads and buildings and, you know, do all kinds of things in our world today. And so it just really doesn't make any sense why people just all of a sudden, you know, kind of throw these things under the bus and say, oh, well, they're a conspiracy. We're not supposed to talk about them. We're not supposed to question it. And from my point of view, I've always had a lot of questions, and I just don't feel like the teachers and my parents and preachers, everybody with some kind of authority has got all the answers. I just didn't get that, and didn't resonate with me really, truly, to just not feel like the truth was coming out. I mean, isn't it Christ that said that, you know, seek the truth and the truth shall set us free? Seek the truth and the truth shall set us free. Yeah. I mean, why not? So many incredible things out there, and we are told to believe these things in school. You know, that was really pushed by the Rockefellers to give us an education that really didn't give us a lot of information, just made us, you know, gave us enough so we can do our jobs and not ask any questions. And I feel like that's not what I'm here to do. I'm not here to just live and pay bills and die, you know, and pay my taxes and die. I'm here to experience something much greater than that. And I feel like if you're watching this tonight, or somewhere down on the recording, that you're here for that same reason. You're here to find out what your purpose is, what life really is about, what this reality has to offer for us. And I think it's much more than we've been told. Why is the world the way it is? And tonight I'm going to ask a lot of questions, because I got a lot more questions than I got answers for you guys tonight. But I feel like sometimes the smartest person in the room has more questions than answers. And what is, I mean, is this natural evolution of what's going on in our world? Is this naturally what happens on other planets and how things happen? Or something much more intended going on to the human race? And, you know, as we were little kids and we asked why, you know, all the time, I needed to know why. And a lot of times people said because it said so, or because that's what we're doing, or for whatever reason, I got shut down. And I feel like for a lot of us, it shuts us down, and we stop asking those questions. We're told not to question authority. If you don't listen to the subject at hand and take it in by what's being told to you verbatim, then something's wrong with you. You know, like the pyramids got built this way, and there's no other way for us to talk about it than what we're being told in school. And like, that's, I don't think that's fair, because we don't really honestly know. And who really does know? And who really does have the authority over us to tell us not to question things, to tell us not to go out in the deep end and researching something on our own? And how is that not valid? How is my or your or anybody's personal journey and your own, you know, really just digging in for the information, how is that not valid? I think it's totally valid. My feelings when I'm thinking about certain information, when I'm researching information, I feel like is super important. How I feel about a subject oftentimes leads me on a huge journey to a lot of connecting truths and a lot of connecting ideas that I feel like is really important for me. And I feel like it's probably really important for a lot of you guys as well. So I am here tonight to ask you guys, what is going on? What's happening? what kind of conspiracies are true, maybe what some are not so true. And I just want to dive into it deep with you guys tonight. So I hope you guys will join me with that. And then maybe at the end, we'll open up and share some more conspiracies after this on Ascension Works TV. So again, who is the authority of this reality, really? Who is designing education, politics, you know, social aspects of the human experience? Who really is in control of that? Is anybody in control of that? Because it seems like collectively we all are to some aspect. And then it seems like some people have a little bit more intention in that. And that's important to know who those people are. And I want to find out who those people are, if there is anyone that's doing that. So it's, I think, again, it's important for us to ask those questions. And like I said, the word conspiracy really just means to me who's conspiring together. We know politicians and presidents and prime ministers always, you know, get together and talk about agendas and things that they want to do. And then now there's no doubt about it that there are people who are globalists who are getting together to decide what people should do in every country. People who are unelected, trying to make policies, laws, and agendas for people. And that doesn't suit me very well. And I feel like the more we know that, the more we're on top of those things, the better for us, because we don't want to get caught with our pants down when big things happen and be afraid to be scared and do something that we wouldn't normally do if we had thought it through or questioned something first and seen, hey, maybe something's coming and I want to be on top of that. I don't want to give in out of fear and do something that, you know, could hurt my body, could hurt my family, could hurt my finances. And, you know, I think as a chess player, I feel like I'm always watching moves. I'm watching, you know, moves by politicians, globalists, you know, friends and family, everything, you know, in my life, because everything that happens, everything that I am a part of is a part of my journey and a part of my experience. So the word conspiracy, I believe, came 60 years ago after the JFK assassination. We were told, if you don't accept the narrative of what we're being given to you, then you're a conspiracy theorist. You know, you're saying that JFK was murdered and assassinated other than by the person that we told you. And we all know that there's a lot of, you know, questionable things going on in that particular event, and that particular conspiracy, right? I've seen videos and heard a lot of different things about that in particular case, you know, and that's 60 years later. You know, our president's supposed to let that information out, let us have that, and still we're not getting it because of COVID. We can't put that out. So why 60 years later, you guys aren't going to tell us what exactly happened? Where is the disclosure of information that we're promised that we should be knowing? Why is there so much secrecy in the government? All the speeches and things that JFK talked about, you know, about that shadowy government, about the shadowy group that relied on covet means, those speeches are important. And when you go back and look at it, it just doesn't seem like it was just some lone gunman who was trying to end the presidency. It seemed like there was a lot of malicious intent by, you know, certain groups and stuff. And it is important for us to, you know, like I said, ask these questions. So if we don't understand history, you know, what's that saying? Then we're doomed to repeat it. I don't want to continue to repeat things because we're not aware, we're not paying attention. We just got our noses in the ground. We're working and we're not paying attention. So let's start paying attention. Let's start looking at these conspiracies and talk about them. Right or wrong, good or bad, positive or negative, there's no reason why anybody should never, ever at least get down and deep into a topic or an idea and see, why is it that, you know, somebody is saying a certain thing and somebody else is saying something else? You know, it's our duty, I feel like, as citizens, as, you know, human beings on this planet, to make sure that we take care of each other, to make sure that, you know, things aren't happening that aren't for the good of all. And so, again, that started 60 years ago with that saying, and it's been, you know, a term that's been used ever since then to kind of throw things under the bus and you know, call people names that I just don't think that's a fair way to go with that. And, you know, we need to start getting into a place where we can have open dialogue, right or wrong, good or bad. Every idea, every topic should be studied. You know, there's been so many things throughout history where we believed it to be one way and then find out, oh, it's not. So, you know, even science is something that is can be questionable, something that can change. It's a search for answers, not necessarily that it has all the answers all the time, but we do test and we try to figure things out. And that's all we're here for, is to figure out the truth. That's that deep truth that if we really are ready for it, if we're humble, if our bowl is open, I believe if we ask these questions out to the universe, to God, whatever you want to call it, that universe, that God is going to answer our questions some way, somehow, through books, through television, through videos, through people, through events that we go to. I have discovered so many things that way, and they start to open up, and it's like breadcrumbs. And then you start to follow the breadcrumbs and you find, oh, wow, this thing connects to this thing and this connects to this. And that's really important to start to follow it, because in certain ideas where I've seen a certain thing and I'm reading about it, a conspiracy, and then I don't even understand it fully or completely, but it leads me on to something else. And I follow that. I follow that trail of breadcrumbs, and it brings me into other things. And understanding something over here helps me realize, oh, the thing that I was looking at, I needed to see other things. I needed to understand other things just to get this thing right, just to understand this one idea. So I want to dig into a few tonight. Let's dig into some conspiracies for sure. So probably going to go ahead and start with the flat earth theory. It's one I've talked about a couple times before on my shows and everything. And I'm just going to tell you guys flat out, I just don't believe in the flat earth theory. I don't believe that's how it goes. I mean, it was just a couple hundred years ago, seriously, that people started coming out and say, hey, man, the world is not flat. I'm pretty sure it's round, at least. And people were killed for those ideas, you know, and so many people were killed for those ideas. And so that's something that's really important to think about. Like, people lost their lives for just mentioning something different than the narrative of that day. And so we're going to go back to that theory all of a sudden. It doesn't make any sense to me. Honestly, I believe that the earth is a torus. It is a toroidal field. Which is basically like an apple or an orange, meaning there are basically two tornadoes, two vortexes from the top and the bottom, and then there's a zero point in the middle. And the energy comes up, it comes out, down, and back up again. That is a torus field. That's around every human. That's around our earth. That's around, you know, like I said, how apples and oranges and our entire universe works, even stars moving through this pattern up and out of the Milky Way and back again. And we've seen that pattern before. So I think the universe is a toroidal machine. It just creates toruses all day long. And that would make sense to why Albert Einstein and different scientists believe that the earth was hollow. Because if you look in your apple or your orange, when it comes down and in, there's a core in there. And then the middle is what? Seeds. That's the zero point. And I believe this is a pattern for our lives in history, and that this not some just linear timeline, that we have this incredible spiraling energy of how things come back around. That's why karma comes back around, and events, and the same people with different names, but it's the same person over again, the same job over and over again. We see the same stuff, and it's because of this pattern. And once you learn that thing and you kind of alleviate that karma from you, you no longer have to repeat it again over and over again once you learn the lesson. So to me, that is why many people have known for long periods of time that the earth was a torus, that it does have an inner earth, that there is probably some kind of power generating in the middle of that zero point, and allows people to live inside these caverns and stuff inside the earth at these pole points. So I, in my personal belief, I just believe that that is a theory that's come up, and it's the main thing that you hear about nowadays, the flat earth theory, anywhere you go in any kind of app or conspiracy place, right? And I think it really is just created by a group of individuals who want to make you think that all conspiracies are just false. And so we're going to just have a blanket term, a conspiracy of this flat earth theory, and then we'll throw everything else under there. So we'll make this really kind of one that doesn't make sense. And I'm not going to say it doesn't. Some of the things that I've read, some of the things that I've seen, some of them are really good. But when I'm listening to something, or I'm reading something, I get this really incredible feeling where I have like goosebumps, and, you know, I just feel like, oh, this is really, you know, intriguing me. And that's just one that doesn't do it for me personally. I'm open to hearing more. If somebody got some good things, I'm more than willing to listen. But for me, I feel like this is something that was created literally to throw everything else under the bus under it and just say, well, this one is so kind of dumb. All of them have to be dumb. If you're a conspiracy person, you have to believe that one true. I don't believe that. There's a couple of them that I don't believe. But over the course of my lifetime, most of the conspiracies that I have, you know, kind of dug into, a lot of them have a lot of meat, you know, on those bones, and they're good. You know, there's a lot to them. So, but for me, that one personally, I just want to get out of the way because I know some people are going to ask. I just don't believe that the earth is flat and has some kind of firmament around it. And that just doesn't make sense. I believe that most planets probably are toroidal fields, stars are toroidal fields, galaxies, and our universe itself is probably a big torus along in the multiverse of universes. And the same thing is happening continuously. So another one that's really good, you know, is the Titanic. The Titanic conspiracy, some of you probably heard about before. But seriously, the richest people on the planet at the time literally are on this boat. And they're against, you know, Federal Reserve banks and central banks. And they get these guys on a boat, and then all of a sudden it hits an iceberg, supposedly, right? And all these people are dead. And then the next year, 1913, the Federal Reserve was enacted, you know, just over a year later. That to me is quite a coincidence to have the richest people who are against that, these centralized banks and these Federal Reserve banks. Is it just a coincidence, just a mere coincidence? I don't think so. There's actually people who wrote books that said, who survived the Titanic and said that they, you know, thought they got hit by something, you know, some kind of missile or a huge loud explosion. Seriously, the guys that recently went down there, you know, the people went down there in that submersible sub to go look at it. As soon as those guys were going down there, I knew they weren't coming back up alive, if they were coming back up at all. I was like, there's no way. There's no way that if somebody deliberately shot this Titanic down and it sunk to the bottom of the ocean, there's no way they're going to let you come back up with pictures. I mean, there's no way. And, you know, obviously I ended up being right about that one. It just doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't make any sense that an iceberg sunk this ship. To me personally, I've never heard of any iceberg sinking a ship ever. That's the only one in the recorded history that I know of that supposedly hit an iceberg and then sinks to the bottom of the ocean. This doesn't happen like that. And I just don't think it happened to the Titanic. And like I said, what a coincidence that the Federal Reserve was enacted a year later after that. And I think that's just too much for me personally to believe that. And that means to me that there are a lot of incidences like this, you know, false flags and things that have happened to distract us and to do different things to get certain people out of the way. And that just seems to be something that's happening all the time, especially today. Upon telling my parents about that a couple of years ago about the Titanic, I just, you know, was thinking, and a lot of times I just, you know, I kind of receive little nuggets of information sometimes to go research it. And I was telling my parents about the Titanic and this huge ship and all the things I told you guys about the, you know, icebergs and everything. And then all of a sudden I get this kind of message, Hindenburg. And I was like, oh yeah, the Hindenburg. And I, right there in front of him, while I was talking to him, I just went to go research it and just see if there was anything about the Hindenburg, this, you know, this huge ship in the sky, was a hydrogen balloon or whatever. And come find out some of the things I found out about the pilot and everything, saying that this thing shouldn't have blown up. This shouldn't have happened. There's no way that this could happen without some kind of intention for it to happen. Someone had to have wanted it to happen. And then to think about, just if you were to take a hydrogen balloon and you put a lighter underneath it, that thing explodes in a second. The Hindenburg, I think it took about a minute to finally burn up. And if there was that much hydrogen gas in there, you would assume that thing would have blown to smithereens in a second. No, it burned for over a minute. So to me, the fact that I just got this little message, I go in there and research it for a second. And then, like I said, the pilot himself is saying, this is not right. This should not have happened. And there are a lot of conspiracies about who blew it up and why. And those kind of things just made me realize all the events in our life, all these big things that have happened, these big distractors, these big things that people have done so they can do other things. Whether you're looking over here, we're going to do something over here, you know, those things are planned out. I think a lot of them have to be planned out, and we have to maybe at least come to the conclusion that so many events in our world are probably our plan. I mean, even like Vietnam, we know that the Gulf of the Tonkin incident, where, you know, they said that the Vietnam had, you know, bombed one of our ships, that took us into the war with them. But if I come to find out later, that never happened. These people fund both sides of wars to distract, to, you know, to basically use us like dogs and fight each other and kill each other. The same thing has happened since we've been here. All these different gods telling us to fight each other and kill each other. Why? What's the purpose? We have to go back. What is the intention for these people, these gods, making us fight each other for so long, since human beings have literally been here? And that may become a conclusion that the Bible and the Old Testament was full of, you know, well, some people call the fallen angels. To me, I think those are people from other planets, that they were, you know, angels come from heaven, right? Well, I don't think they were talking about heaven being in another dimension. I think heaven literally referred to the heavens. Everything outside of the earth, you know, was the heavens. And people came out of the heavens, came to this planet, had sex with the women that were here, and, you know, their religion came with them, and their prejudice came with them, and they got us to fight each other. And, you know, they created the Nephilim and different entities, and, you know, things like the Tower of Babel, where God, man had become one. Man had become one and had one universal language. So God came down and confused men with language. And that's why it's called Babel, Baby Babel today. And to me, it's like, is that the God of love that I serve, that lives, when, you know, the New Testament being saying that no man has ever seen the face of God, that God is love. And when we love, God dwelleth within us, to a God who lands on mountains and fiery chariots and thunderous applause and hands out commandments and rides in a pillar of, a cloud by day and a fiery pillar at night, and people have to, you know, follow after them. I don't think that's the God that Christ was telling us to serve, that was telling us to love. That seems like something completely different to me. So that's why I think there is an Old Testament and then there's a New Testament. There's a new way to live. There's a new way to be on this planet. So we have to, I just think, right or wrong, the questions that we have, the conversations that we need to have and talk about these ideas, it's really important. It's important for all of us to try to get to the bottom of who we are, how we got here, our true human history, and to find out, you know, at the end of the day, that really we're all brothers and sisters. And no matter the darkness of our skin, the pigmentation that we have, we are all way more alike than we could ever be different. And finding these things out, that some people have some dark agenda to continuously fight ourselves, to fight each other, to have culture wars, to see people different for the color of their skin or their politics, and just hate each other all day long. That is a distraction. As a chess player, I know that's a distraction. They're all over here doing all these things, but they're just behind the scenes doing whatever they want. And I think what's going on behind the scenes is pretty nasty, awful stuff. And we have to take our heads out of the sand, stop fighting each other, and realize, you know, we're all one. And it's time for us to take our planet back. And so I think that's why, for me personally, after researching so many conspiracies, I have to keep going. I can never stop. I have to continue to keep researching, because I feel like there's no end to these things. You know, another conspiracy that I don't feel like is talked about very much, I feel like everybody kind of feels like they got the 411 on this conspiracy, and there's not much about it. I feel like I wanted to make a whole video about this, but I just want to kind of go over it tonight, because I want people to think, or at least realize, that the first thing that someone gives you, the first information that you see, maybe you see something over and over again, doesn't necessarily mean that's true. And the biggest one that I'm seeing right now that's happened just recently was the Georgia Guidestones. And I'm a man from Georgia, and I have personally been to the Georgia Guidestones a couple times. Doing my research, man, I probably visited 15 years ago at this point, maybe probably even before that, 2024. Yeah. So my first experience. I just want to go by myself. I don't even, you know, want anybody to come with me. I just want to go see what it is, see it for what it's worth. It seemed pretty interesting to me personally. So I go out there and it's a beautiful place. You know, it's really wide open, big field, really beautiful. And, you know, so I just go to check it out and immediately nobody else is there. And there's a couple horses out there and I walk right up and a couple horses walk right up to me. I pet the horses. They're really beautiful. You know, it's kind of cool little, you know, situation that I'm in. And, I enjoy myself. I go check these things out and they seem pretty cool. And through my research, you know, I feel like to me personally, there's a lot of people who think there's some really negative energy behind the creation of these Georgia Guidestones. I didn't get that. I got something completely different. I got what I believe was a secret group trying to guide us into a new age. And I want to read you the Guidestones, what they actually say on them really quick, because everybody always talks about number one, the first guided law, right? And that is to maintain humanity under 500 million, I believe. Yeah. To maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. And now, most people don't even use that last part, in perpetual balance with nature, which does sound pretty good. And I'm not saying that the people who intended this wanted to kill off billions of people because we have, you know, 7 or 8 billion people on the planet right now. I think these things were supposed to be a guide to a new age. And just as this group knows and many other groups knows and Native American traditions that I followed, everybody's always has a reset, some kind of deluge, or the next one's supposed to be by fire. There are all these times in humanity when things would be destroyed. People would go under the ground into these caverns and the cave systems and to come back up later and kind of restart humanity. So there's all these kind of resets that happen. I would say probably a lot of them probably happen around the 26,000 precession of the equinoxes, where we go back into the age of Aquarius, which is the beginning, which is kind of like the rebirth and the birthing period of a new era, new age. And so that's number one, maintain humanity under 500 million. I don't think that this group in particular who made these stones are saying we should kill off everybody. I'm saying after the cataclysm happens, these are the things that people find and you learn about and they help you to guide you to a new reasonable age. So that's number one. And the rest of them, almost no one ever even talks about. Number two is to guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. Again, people get kind of weird about the guiding reproduction and everything else, but it does say it like wisely and improving fitness and diversity. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Fitness and diversity is good as opposed to some of the things that are going on now where, you know, that's not necessarily, you know, we're not fit. Most of us aren't fit, you know, looking at a picture from the 1950s swimming pool. I mean, there's almost no one that's overweight. And now like all of us are, you know, more overweight than we need to be, not because we eat too much, probably just because the food is so terrible and poisoned. So that's number two. Number three, unite humanity with a living new language. And again, that kind of goes back to the Tower of Babel. When we were all one at one time, we had a universal living language that everybody spoke and everybody could talk to each other before the God came down and confused us with language and told us not to, you know, mate with the other people of different races and different cultures and all that kind of stuff. Although there is only one race, the human race. So that's number three, unite humanity with a living new language. That I think is a great thing too. Rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. That's number four. Still pretty good overall. I think these are pretty good things to start a new society. Number five is protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts, which we know we don't have now. We know we don't have a society full of fair laws and just courts. You know, many times often people with more money get away with things that people who don't have money don't get away with, and certainly are being fined and ticketed for things that other people don't even have to worry about. So, you know, what's a law for one is for everybody. And so again, that's another one I don't feel like is a super negative, bad thing. Number six, Let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. That is some that some people get, like a world court, but it also is saying, you know, to let them rule internally, resolving their external disputes. You know, maybe it's for a lot of us, we do believe that we're going back to this kind of one world, one love, one humanity. To me, I don't think we need the borders. I don't think we need the walls. I don't think we need all these things. You know, it's very possible that the world that we're going to see in the near future is going to be completely different than the one that we live on right now. And, you know, that may be something that we are much more okay with different circumstances at the time. Number seven, avoid petty laws and useless officials. Now, that's one for sure. If this was done by a group that wanted to rule over people, I doubt that they would put that in there, petty laws and useless officials, because we got a lot of petty laws and useless officials. I can guarantee that. And number eight, balance personal rights with social duties. Number nine, prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. Man, those are some good ones right there too that I totally resonate with. And number 10, be not a cancer on the earth, leave room for nature. And it says it one more time, leave room for nature. These are all pretty good laws, pretty good guides to, you know, if a cataclysm happens and a lot of people die off, a lot of people aren't ready for this purification that's happening. I mean, Mother Earth has got to wash her hands of dirty germs and the things that aren't working for her. And, you know, so many civilizations talk about these things that have happened. People had to go underground and they come back up. And I believe that if you're living the way you should be, angels, guides, spirits, Mother Earth, Father, Son will give you the tools, will give you the insights to know what's going to happen. And you'll never have to fall into an earthquake or a volcano. Like, you know, that's not going to happen to you. You'll be at the right place in the right time when you're in sync with the universe, when you're in sync with the world, as opposed to, you know, in sync with prophets and, you know, everything else that's of this world. I mean, really, all this other stuff is just, it just doesn't matter, you know, to be in this world really and truly, but not of it. So I think those are some of the big things for me. And then another one that is probably kind of like the nail in the coffin for me is that literally it says kind of the person who put this thing together, his name is R.C. Christian. And right next to that name says pseudonym, as if this means something. This isn't his actual name. It's a pseudonym. So it means something. So to me, the best thing I could come up with is this means Rosicrucian Christian. And that's a secret sect that I feel like has some privy to some information that is not mainstream. And they know, you know, they study the ancient texts and they know that the earth has these cataclysms that happen. You know, it's more like a birthing period. When a woman gives birth, there's screaming and there's blood and there's pains and birthing pains and all stuff. And if you just looked at that right there, you'd think she was dying if you didn't know otherwise. But if you look at the bigger picture, she's giving birth to a new child. And I think that's what's happening, is evolution is something that when it gets to a certain point, those who live in love and a higher frequency vibration literally harmonize and resonate with that vibration, are able to evolve. I don't think evolution is something that happens over millions of years. I think it happens spontaneous. And those people with that frequency are able to take on that spontaneous evolution to further themselves. And like I said, evolution doesn't stop with opposable thumbs. We're going to evolve, and we may even look completely different. The difference between us and Cro-Magnon man or Paleolithic man could possibly look completely different to Homo sapiens in the same way we look different to Neanderthals. So that's just something that I believe and I feel in my heart and my journey. No one's caring about the germs when you wash your hands, although you're killing, you know, billions of germs when you wash your hands. Mother Earth has to wash herself and has to purify herself again. And this is just a process, just like spring, summer, winter, fall, of birth and rebirth and death and life. And that's just what it is. And that's how, for me, I believe evolution works. And I think once we start to realize that, it's very possible that the Georgia Guidestones were something that was given to us by a group of people that were hoping to help guide us into a new age in a better, in a, you know, more harmonious way, as opposed to, you know, evil people with an agenda to depopulate the earth, which I think there is. I definitely think there are people who definitely have that agenda on their mind. But I don't think the people who created that one did that. I've never heard anybody really talk about this subject. This is my personal belief. I could be wrong. I'm open to hearing different stories, understandings, and ideas about this particular event, this particular conspiracy. But for me, right now where I'm at, that's where I'm at with this one. And I share that because there's so many people who say these things are negative and they just hear that first law and they're like, oh man, that's it. It's done. You know, glad it's broken. I'm glad they blew it up. But for me, I think there's a lot more. And I think you have to dig really deep these days. Don't just take the first thing someone says to you. Really dive deep into your own research. Be humble, have an open bowl. Listen, you know, ask the questions, ask God, ask the universe to guide you to the answers. And I believe if you do that and you really mean it, the universe and God really will do that for you. So I talked about a little bit already, but the wars, many of the wars, I believe, are completely orchestrated by groups who want us to fight each other, to not find out who we really are. As long as we're distracted, hating, killing, punishing, destroying other people with weapons, we're not learning to love. We're not learning to have love dwell within us. And that's what God is. How could God be dwelling within you and have this love inside of you if you're constantly fighting and bickering and killing and torturing other humans? There's no way. There's absolutely no way. So that is the complete opposite of God to me. So I think that is why, you know, there is so much war. There is so much, you know, anger and hate. But I think that's orchestrated by a few who want the majority of us to fall in line with that. And the more that we don't, the more that we resist, the more that we say, no, we're not going to do that. I'm not going to kill my brothers and sisters. I'm going to love my neighbor. I'm going to extend that past the people that live next to me on the same street. I'm going to extend that to the people in every country around the world, that I know that every single person in this world is more like me than they could ever be different. And if I know that and I believe that, then it's a game over. It's game over for people who want to continue to divide us. So I think that's something that's super important to kind of come to terms with. So the wars, the buildings that get blown up, distractions that happen, you know, missing money in the Pentagon, and then a plane supposedly, looks more like a missile hit it to me, hits the Pentagon in 9/11 and blows up the exact place where they're, you know, counting the trillions of dollars that are supposed to be missing. Same thing with like the World Trade Center, not the World Trade Center, Oklahoma City bomb. And then there's somebody, you know, president's wife, who's going to be, she's going to be, you know, go to court for the scandals that she did. And then that's supposed to happen 4 days later after it was blown up at the exact same place where they were doing the research and everything else. So we really have to come to terms that the assassinations, the killings, the bombs blowing up, the wars, all this stuff is something that's really orchestrated. And that normally this just doesn't happen. This is not a society. You know, we're wired to love each other. We're wired to help each other out. Even in those biggest times of destruction and, you know, kind of cataclysms, people go help each other no matter what, no matter how dangerous, people go die in those buildings to pull people out. So sadly, that's where it comes to the point where you realize, like, even in this deep, dark despair, people really actually do love each other and help each other out. I love that Mr. Rogers quote, and he goes, when you see these kind of bad things happen, look for the helpers. You know, concentrate on those things. You know, I'm not sitting there saying these things to scare people, to make everybody think the world is a terrible place, but there are things that are happening. And, you know, there are parasites in our world. We have to take them off and do something about it. If there was a huge tick on you, you're not going to let it suck you, you know, completely dry so you can't, you know what I mean? So it gets humongous and you're no longer able to live because it's parasites on you or tapeworms are in you, just completely taking all your nutrients till you die. You're going to do something about it. You're going to get the parasites out. You're going to pull the tick off. And I think that's what's going on. We literally have parasitic beings on this planet who are just feeding off of us all the time. And that's why they constantly promote the fear. So we have to rise above that and know that the love is the most powerful force in the universe. And I know everybody watching this tonight knows that. And if you don't know that, I ask you to really dive in the deep and to love yourself, to love others, to forgive yourself and forgive others, because that's really, I think, first and foremost, the way out of this thing and to really get to this new world that's coming. And it's, you know, it's here. It's definitely here. And I want to be a part of that. I feel like I have reincarnated over and over again so many times. The reason that I understand these things is lifetime after lifetime has been my search for truth to find out what is going on this planet. And so now, after millions of reincarnations, this stuff isn't just randomly coming up for me. It's stuff that I researched before. And literally sometimes where I just get a inkling to go look at something, and the next thing you know, I'm an expert on it. And like a 24-hour period later. And I feel like it's just because I'm, you know, almost like remembering it more so than learning about it. So, you know, again, crazy things are happening. You know, Epstein didn't kill himself. You know, that's another one where it's kind of like, oh, yep, Epstein's dead. Does anybody actually know that he's dead? Because I don't even know that he's dead. I really honestly don't even know. I don't even know that that is an actual real person who was born with that name. The same thing with like Osama bin Laden. I don't know that Osama bin Laden was a real person. And the fact that if a guy named Osama bin Laden was responsible for all the deaths of 9/11, how come they just threw him over a ship into the water and killed him? It just doesn't make any sense at all. I've seen too many things about, different agencies and stuff coming up with these people and then giving us something to fight. I think we literally create Al-Qaeda, they literally create Hamas, they create ISIS. The governments and agencies create these terrorist organizations so that we constantly have someone to fight, someone to hate, someone to be angry at. And we are completely blindsided by just lies and deceit just to keep us distracted, just to keep us angry. I really honestly, the more and more you look at it, it just seems like this, that's what's really going on. Sadly, that's what's really going on. But once we wake up and realize it's all smoke and mirrors, it's just this reality where fear is being pumped into it and creating this fake world, you know, kind of illusion of separation, an illusion of people hating each other, an illusion of the majority of people don't like each other, the majority of people are mad at each other. And I don't think that's true. When I walk out on the street and I go to work, most people are nice. Most people are helpful. Most people are loving. And I think they want us to paint a picture that the world's not like that. And as long as we continue to believe the lies and continue to live in the fear, that's the experience that we get. If you believe that the world's a terrible place, when you go out and you go on vacation, you go places and you think that everything is, you know, people are killing each other and stealing from each other, that's the kind of experience I believe that you will draw to yourself. But if you honestly believe that the world is a helpful, loving place, that's the kind of world that you're going to experience. And so we all live in the same world, but we get different realities out of it. We literally get different experiences and events that we show up to and places and all these things. And you can go to a restaurant with different people and go to the same place and sit at the same table, and somebody's going to get, you know, food that's cold or something they didn't order, have a bad experience, and somebody else and sit at the same table, two people down, and get the food they wanted, tasted great, service was great to them, same waiter, same table, same restaurant. What's the difference? The difference is what you believe the world to be like. That's what I 100% believe. What you believe the world to be like is what you get over and over and over again until you realize, I don't like that anymore. I want to change it. I want to change the channel and channel something differently in. And so I feel like that's, for me, what my goal is in life, is to see a loving world, to see loving humans, to see people who are, you know, just distracted, but ultimately deep down, most people are good people. They're all good people. They're all God. They're literally all God, whether they know it or not. And then, oh man, another great story that's been coming out a lot lately. Again, not one that I'm 100% know about, but I'm going to share it with you guys. The giant tree theory. So I don't know if you guys have been on some social media lately where they're talking about places like Devil's Tower and a lot of places in the Four Corners region where they have these really tall kind of rock mountains, and then all of a sudden they're cut off at the very top. There's a lot of people going around saying that these were giant trees. My first hearing about it, I was like, okay, you know, that's a cool theory. I like that. But to find other civilizations and cultures talking about similar things is what really kind of pulled this together for me. So in the Zulu legend, there was massive trees on the planet back in the day. And then when the moon came in, the moon comes in and the world is spinning upright. The moon comes in because somebody brought it in. Literally, the moon is not a natural satellite. It's too big, too heavy to be natural. It pulls the earth over. It's so big. It pulls the earth over. And that's why we have the seasons the way we do. We're actually closer to the sun in winter and farther away in the summer. It's wild, but that's because the earth is tilted off of its normal, probably natural axis. We don't have a natural access anymore. We're being pulled over by the moon. And they said when that happened, there was a lot of fog on the planet. These major huge trees are on the planet. And you know, in California, the sequoia trees and everything, they grow so big because of the fog that comes in from the Pacific Ocean. And so when the moon comes in, it pulls all the water down, which causes the flood, according to them. And then the giants that are on the earth in those days, they go cut the trees down. And as I'm thinking about that, the story of Paul Bunyan comes to me right away. Paul Bunyan was a giant cutting down trees with his blue babe, you know, blue ox babe. And just to think about that, like that is, I mean, whether right or wrong, it's just an incredible story. Like there obviously were giants. I imagine at very least, there were at least much bigger trees back in the day when there was more carbon on the earth. Than there is now. And obviously there are a lot of other bigger things back in the past that we know for sure were bigger. And so it makes sense that, you know, bigger trees would be back then anyway. And then the Jack and the Beanstalk story comes to my mind too, where these giants are going up and down the beanstalks and you have to cut them down, right? To stop the giants. Again, this is an incredible story. I'm working it out myself right now. I'd love to hear anybody else's opinions and ideas on this particular one, because it's definitely fascinating to me. We all know that trees can become petrified over time and turn to rock, basically. So this is, to me, is something that is, I think it's good information. I enjoy learning about it. One of the things after learning about these different kinds of plateaus or whatever they're referred to as now, but like kind of said, the Devil's Tower is the King of the Wings. They also call it Momo's Wing, where literally it looks like, again, a giant tree stump. But it's got what looks like an axe, petrified, rocked over at this point, with a tree coming off of the stump, like an axe handle coming off, as if one of the giants left his tree there, you know, left his axe there, which I haven't visited yet on my own, but I definitely have it on my to-do list of places to go. This is an incredible idea, conspiracy. I don't know either way. I feel like for me personally, it's a great story. I'm into it. The fact that the Zulu legends talk about something very similar is pretty incredible to me. And these stories that are in these kids' stories, the Jack and the Beanstalks and the Paul Bunyan, I think it's something deep down in our subconscious that these stories come up. And when people are imagining, coming up with kids' stories, they come up with these stories, they're coming from somewhere. They're not just coming from nowhere. They're coming from the ether somewhere. And I feel like it's important for us to at least realize, like, man, there's a lot more to these stories that are being told. There's a lot more going on in history that we've ever been told. His story. Whose story is it? It's definitely not one of the people's. It's from a king or, you know, a queen or someone up who's telling his story and his version of the events. That's important to realize. The stories that we learn are from a certain perspective, and the same wars and the same stories are taught totally different in another country. That's for sure. So again, my intention is just to be completely wide open about those things. And just like the moon as well, the moon is definitely something that's not a natural satellite. It has a huge effect on the tidal waves and the high and low tides of the planet. And our body is mostly made out of water. So it has a huge effect on us. There's more rapes and murders and aggressive act on the full moon than any other time of the lunar cycle every month. Police officers know that a lot of people know this. There are more seizures, just more intense things that are going on than any other time of the lunar cycle. And lunacy is all about the moon. I made an entire video about this. You guys can go back and watch it. I think it's a good one because I think it's important to know, just like Star Wars literally is a AI being riding around on the Death Star, which is the moon that moves in on planets and takes it over. That's the kind of story that we are, that we're talking about, that this isn't just some random, you know, natural evolution of our people. There's literally a huge problem going on our planet, and we have to wake up. We have to realize and see what's happening, what's going on, and we need to start doing something about it. We have to start resisting the things that they're telling us to do, and I think that's really important. It's time. You know what I mean? This is our planet now. This is our world, and we need to take it back. And if we don't know some of these things that are going on, it's going to be really tough, I feel like, to know this kind of truth that's going to set us free. Because, you know, just because we don't have shackles and chains and are behind bars doesn't mean we're not slaves. Christ literally said, if we don't seek the truth, we're not going to be free. You have to seek all the truth, no matter how hard it is to swallow. And that's, I know that some of these are some big pills to swallow, but at the end of the day, you got to swallow. We have to get to the nitty gritty deep truth of what's going on our planet. If we're ever going to get to a point where we're going to become the rebels and take on the great imperial, you know, AI lords that are out there. So that's what I'm here for. That's what I want to do. I want to encourage all of you guys to do the same thing. Another good one is Antarctica. Antarctica is full of good conspiracies. One of which is the temples and the things that people are starting to see on there now. I believe Antarctica, because of the Paris map, shows that it wasn't, that they mapped it not too long ago. I believe that the Paris map is real. I believe that Antarctica was definitely a continent, probably somewhere close to the equator at some point. The pole shifts, when they happen, they move the crust around. They move land masses around. And Antarctica was a continent. It has many temples, ancient technologies, all kinds of stuff all over it. It's just frozen over. And as that thing starts to melt more and more, we're going to start to see more and more. Although, you know, obviously a lot of it, they're going to try to hide from us. But those poles, I mean, nobody's even allowed to fly over the poles. Well, that's such a weird thing. If there's not openings there, why is the U.S. government over the poles of Antarctica and the North Pole, and it's a no-fly zone and you can't fly over it if there's nothing there to see? Because it all in all, that would be the quickest way to get over it and back. So Antarctica, I think, is harboring a lot of our ancient secrets that and temples and stuff that are eventually gonna be the thing that really wake people up, like, wow, you know, that shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be things underneath that ice. But I will promise you that there definitely is things under there. You know, it's just other things like the Great Wall of China, and people say it was built by China, but actually the steep sides face China, as if they were trying to keep people and the Chinese out. And that kind of leads us to the whole Tartarian story, right? That Tartarian kind of this umbrella term for these civilizations, and not too long ago had free energy and had these, you know, buildings that had these huge steeples on them. They were, you know, from what I've read and studied, that there's mercury in there and it's able to swirl around to give these buildings free energy, and that people had it. And I believe, you know, like the pyramids and Stonehenge and these, you know, Teotihuacan literally looks like a computer board. I mean, it looks like it could create energy. And I believe that they did. And so Tartaria, not necessarily for me as like one place, but if it's an umbrella term that the civilizations and cultures had free energy on this planet, I'm with it. I 100% believe that. I believe that even after Atlantis and Lemuria and other places, that there have been civilizations that have had that. And there are people right now, I believe, in civilizations that have free energy on this planet that they want to cover up and they want people to know about. So that's one that I definitely subscribe to too. Another one, dinosaurs. I've heard a lot of people recently say dinosaurs don't really exist. We don't really have a full skeleton. I could see that. I think a lot of the dinosaurs, most of all the dinosaurs that you see, are just plaster cast made. And I think, for me at least, I think that dinosaurs did exist. And I think they still do exist. There's too many stories from the Thunderbird being a pterodactyl to Michaela Mbembe in Africa to the, you know, kind of plesiosaurus type thing, or kind of sea serpents that you see, Lake Champlain, Loch Ness. There are, I believe, dinosaurs still on the planet, and I think most of them probably dwell within the Earth, but portals kind of open up and come through every once in a while. That's why when you see something like that, it's there for a short amount of time, then it's completely dissolved. Kind of like the Bermuda Triangle, when someone goes through the electronic fog, they start to see everything go crazy and haywire on their instruments and everything, and then all of a sudden they disappear. I think they're going back to different time periods. And if they are, I think it could be possible that they dissolve after a certain amount of time because they're not supposed to be there. Again, these are all theories. Everything's a theory at this point. I mean, they told us when we were little kids that the moon got there from a double whack theory because, you know, it hit the Earth and, you know, something hit the Earth and a big chunk came off and made the moon. Well, the moon doesn't look anything like the Earth, number one, not made of the same stuff. It looks much older. And that's not typically how moons happen. They grab the gravitational field of a planet and they start rolling around elliptical orbit. So it's just theories upon theories, and some are right and some are wrong. And we have every right to question every single one of them, because one is in a book or someone's taught in school doesn't mean that that has to be a fact. It's definitely not. So to me, I think dinosaurs in general are somewhat covering up the fact that dragons exist. They did exist. They still do exist. I believe that dinosaurs do exist. I think some dinosaurs could be dragons. I think that may be part of it to cover it up. But, you know, again, it talks about in the Bible, in the stories, the dragons coming back, dragons being on the Earth, and they're coming back. And I do think we will probably see that soon. And that's a whole topic on its own on another show. Yeah. And there's just so many pictures and carvings on temples of stegosauruses and brontosauruses. It's just, to me, I am someone who does believe that some kind of dinosaurs do exist, and whether or not those dinosaurs could be other things, that's something else too, because there are lots of different animals. There are lots of different sentient beings. There's lots of different aliens out there. There's some that look like us. There's some that look like bird folks. There's some that look like reptilian people. There's some that go to other planets, even though they're not supposed to, and become gods. And then, you know, part of their laws is don't make engraven images of us. Don't make statues of us, because we don't want people to know what we really look like. That would be the first law of the Ten Commandments, right? Don't make engraven images of God. Probably because the people that they were, they didn't want people to know who they were. So there is so much deception going on that this is just a smoke and mirrors show. It literally is a big stage of event. And it is your duty as an informed person to make good decisions and to research stuff on your own. And to me, that's where I'm at, and that's what I'm doing. Another one, CERN, the Hadron Collider, I think, is a pretty crazy thing. I didn't realize till recently that the whole mandala effect came after the CERN thing fired up. So I kind of believe that what they're doing, I don't think, is a positive thing, and trying to bring things in that they probably shouldn't be. And if they're doing things with CERN, the whole changing the reality could definitely very well be because of that. Change the names of things that people thought happened that didn't happen. I mean, I for sure definitely thought it was the Bernstein Bears, not the Bernstein Bears. That's one that gets me still today. But I don't know. I don't know, and I don't think a lot of people really understand how crazy the Hadron Collider is, to smashing particles at the speed of light just to see what happens. We're doing things because we can, not because necessarily that we should. And I think that's a scary thing too. And we have to be careful with those kind of things. But I certainly have done a little bit of research on the mandala effect. And, you know, at first I was like, that's weird. But seeing that some of these things kind of happen after CERN made me realize, man, that's definitely more than possible. Definitely going longer than I thought already. I hit you guys with a couple more. You know, MK Ultra, mind control. I definitely think there's a lot of people being mind controlled, celebrities, politicians, to further agendas. You know, just because someone is a celebrity or someone has a lot of money or some doesn't mean you should take their word for it or vote for the person that they say to vote for. A lot of these people we know are compromised, and they have to say these things. They have to go with certain agendas and certain political views, and they can't talk about certain things. I think a lot of the people that are admired, actors and celebrities and famous people and stuff, they're more enslaved than the rest of us. There are things that they can't talk about. There are things that they've been compromised by that they can no longer do. They're much more enslaved than a lot of us are, even though we think, oh, they got lots of money, they got a big boat or something. I think a lot of them are miserable, and that's why they ended up some of the ways that they do, because it's hard to live a lie like that. And, you know, you see it so many times, and so many people talk about it, and the ones who do normally don't live very long. But I think, you know, there are a lot of people are brainwashed. We're literally, I think everybody has been to some degree brainwashed and programmed to believe a certain things, you know, through television and media and, you know, his story. We think things are totally true. There've been things that I probably won't even talk about tonight because they're so, they're too hot to talk about. But there are things that I didn't even think that I would ever even question, things that I learned in school. And then all of a sudden one day I had one of those little epiphanies that I should research something. Next thing you know, I'm way down deep in a rabbit hole and seeing that, oh my God, as someone who believes in the inner earth, who believes in the moon, who believes in aliens, that there are things that happened in history that I would never have questioned in my existence at all, to realize that, oh my God, I believe that we're completely lied to about a lot of things. It's time to wake up and realize, you know, we have been all brainwashed. We all have been lied to, that the rulers of this world have pretty negative intentions for a lot of humans, and they may have a little bit over us in some aspects, but once you realize that someone is taking advantage of you, someone has done something to hurt you, and you no longer need that in your life, it's like you've been pulled down by a rubber band so far that we're like just a fraction of who we really are. Once we let go of that rubber band, and we're going to shoot up. A lot of us are going to let go of the suffering and the pity and the anger and the resentment and I'm not special. And you realize that you really are God in the flesh, and you came here to create heaven on earth, it's game over. I mean, that's exactly what they're trying to distract us from. The main idea is every single one of us is God in the flesh, and that's what we're here for. And that, you know, goes straight into, you know, the aliens and fallen angels that I was talking about from heavens earlier. You know, where is heaven? I think the heavens that they were talking about was just everything out there was considered to be the heavens and their angels, because they came out from those heavens. And, you know, they have deceived us, many of them, not all of them, but some of them deceived us with religion and politics and ways of thinking and ways of being. But as we let go of those things, we're not going to be distracted anymore. We're going to changing the meaning of things by saying something over and over again until people believe it. Like that's the whole agenda. It's keep saying stuff over and over and over and over again until I said, I mean, it has to be true. They say it all the time. No. That's what they want you to believe, because they keep saying it again, but don't believe it. As we believe, we start to help create it. And so a lot of these things, I feel like, to me, is just like realizing how much I've been deceived, and that I need to completely unlearn all the things. And, you know, it's like just wiping the software of what we've been programmed to be. You know, these little humans from these little towns, from these little places that don't really matter, when we are infinite beings who are reincarnated over and over again, and they got to put stuff in our food and our water and our politics and our programming and all these things to stop us, and they still can't stop us. We're still going to wake up. We're still going to come together, and we're going to take our dang planet back. And that's the truth. And they want to change things all the time. They want to change the meaning of things and words and stuff. One of those in particular things is the word apocalypse. And every time someone says the word apocalypse now, so many people think that means doom and gloom and war and riots and all the things. But the apocalypse is literally a Greek word that means to unveil, to disclose. that things that are hidden to be revealed. And that's where we're at. We are at, we are in the apocalypse right now. How many of us are questioning everything now? And how many of us are seeing through this kind of illusion spell that's been cast around us all and looking outside of that and saying, oh my God, there's so much more out here. There's so much more to reality. There's so much more to me. And there's so much more to everything. And they want to, I mean, even that, and that's the big picture. And even like the small picture of our own country and our own governments. And how many times have you heard the words, you know, our democracy, and, you know, people want to take away our democracy, or we don't have a democracy. First of all, we have a constitutional republic, guys. That means in a democracy, 51% can take away the 49%'s rights. And yes, we do vote on the president and things like that. But constitutional republic means that our whole government is set up by the Constitution, that all our rights are inalienable. No one can take away your rights away. But if they tell you it's a democracy and you really believe that, then that's when they're going to start taking them away, because they can't. We have a constitutional republic, and we have inalienable rights to life. What is life? I mean, water, food, air, the right to breathe, the right to exist, liberty. I have the right to be free without you taxing me and, you know, doing all these crazy things to me. And I have the right to pursue happiness. That means I cannot be burdened by your fees and your taxes and your laws. I cannot pursue my happiness with all the boundaries of your laws and all the things that you take away from me when you take away my income and all the things. That's not a pursuit of happiness. That's a pursuit of, for them to enslave us. That's why we have to really know these documents, I think, sometimes, because we have inalienable rights, that we are free, sovereign human beings. And just like a bear doesn't need a fishing license, neither do I. I have the right to food. I have the right to go provide for myself and my family. And, you know, it's hard for people to think that, you know, like almost like anarchy, to the point where we really, man, bears and deer, and they don't have laws. I think they have universal understandings, and I think we have universal understandings, and I don't want to hurt anybody, and I don't want anyone to hurt me. And I think the majority of people do that. But when people are suffering, people are hungry, and their families are hungry, and they have nothing, and this world is crazy, then they're going to do things that are against their natural state. I think we're seeing a world that is not natural. It's not this how it is. This is unnatural, and this is how things happen when you take away rights, and you literally, the things that are happening on this planet are not normal. And so we're seeing, you know, things that are not normal happening with people. So I don't want to fall for things because I'm in a panic, and I don't want other people to fall for things because they're in a panic. So I think what's important to me is that I've studied and I've researched and I've listened to all the people. And there's been so many people who have said the things that are coming, that in the past 4 years that have happened on this planet, have said for a long time before. And I feel like if you just know a little bit, if you do your research, you're not going to succumb to something because you're afraid of what can happen or you lose your job. You know, I was told I had to do certain things, and I did it, and I fought back, and after that, I didn't have to. And literally on the phone with my dad talking to him about it, I saw a rainbow appear right over my head, and it just gave me that confirmation that never fear, never worry, stay true, resist. Be free. You're a free, sovereign human being. No one can make you put anything in your body. No one can tell you what to do. And I think that's why it's so important. Don't allow other people to make decisions for you. If you're a free thinker, if you're someone who's studying these things, when they do happen, you're not going to have to worry about it, because I saw this coming. And I've seen a lot of things coming recently, and my intuition gets better, and you fine tune it. And I think that's as important as anything and any tool that you can have, to know where to go, when to leave, when to, when to listen, when to bear down and pray, when to ask God for guidance. Those kind of things are really important. Christ is returning, but I don't believe Christ is returning on a cloud. I believe Christ is returning in us. And I honestly believe if Christ is returning in you and Christ has returned into your heart, there's no reason that anybody should be looking for him on a cloud to come back and save you and pull you up away from this. The Bible does talk about 1,000 years of peace that happens on this planet. I believe that if we become these Christ beings, we can do all the things that he did and more things, as he said we could, and we actually believe it. I don't need anybody to take me off. I want to be here. I want to take back our planet. I want to take back this world, and I want to enjoy the 1,000 years of peace that I believe that many of us will evolve and go through this huge period of transformation and change into a world of 1,000 years of peace. So we were promised, and every culture talks about that, in a golden age that happens. I believe that that is what's coming, what is already here. And it doesn't have to be something that's scary. I think it's something that if you've done your research, if you've listened and watched the signs, you know that Mother Earth has given birth. And that may look a little bloody and scary and loud and stuff for a minute, but at the end of the day, a whole new being is coming in, and we can be those beings. And I think that's what we're going to see. Christ said, I'm going to be with you to the end of the aeon, which means age. He didn't mean to the end of the world. He meant to the end of the age of Pisces, the two fish, into the age of Aquarius. The Bible does talk about the man carrying the pail of water to look for him. It literally full of zodiac references, but people don't see it. The age of Aquarius is here. The new world is coming. I believe we are going to change in the twinkling of an eye. I think that change is spontaneous evolution. We're going to evolve into beings beyond your wildest dreams, flying. And there is going to be a spiritual war. And we get to be heroes. We get to be superheroes, I believe. We're going to get to be superheroes and take back our planet. Some of us, some of the people will hide inside the earth. And some of us, I believe, will evolve into Christed beings, ascended masters, and take back this planet, which I feel like is incredibly exciting. It's awesome. That's something I do believe in 100%. And that's why I feel like this is an incredible time. It's not a time to be sad, not a time to be upset. But it is a time where an evolution is taking place, a revolution is taking place, and love is the answer. I think if you guys continue to do this, to learn the conspiracies, to open up, start to connect the dots, being patient, wait for the next pieces of the puzzle, you'll realize the apocalypse is happening right now, and it's revealing the truth to you. Personally, to what is going to happen on this planet, what is happening, and that it's not something that's to take lightly, to pay attention, to stay focused, to have discipline, to rid yourself of the sugars, rid yourself of the toxins, stay humble, stay awake, and stay aware. You guys, I am incredibly thankful to get back on here tonight and do this after several months again. I feel a little rusty. Especially when we started out, but it feels good to be with you guys tonight, to share some good ideas, to hopefully somebody should share some good ideas with me after this. I'm always open to hearing new things, to learning about new things. And I hope you guys are too. I am incredibly thankful to be here on Ascension Works with you guys tonight, to be in this space, to be on this planet, to be in this reality, to be alive. And to be here now, I want to thank every single one of you, and that the divine in me sees, honors, and recognizes divine in each and every single one of you. Namaste.